right, good morning and welcome. This is our special rally day Sunday school or adult Bible class. We're going to take a brief break from the fire and the staff and talk about a Bible story from the Old Testament. Certainly we do that in our Sunday school classes, but we're going to do it a little bit more intensely, I guess you can say, as adults. So we'll talk about the story of the flood as we several of us went to the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter two weeks ago. So show some pictures from there, and then we'll take a look at the story of the flood from Genesis account. So start with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your many blessings to us already given today, for the gift of life and salvation that Christ won for us upon the cross, that he continues to give to us through his word and the sacrament. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith in Christ to embolden our proclamation of the truth of your word. Help us to hold fast to these teachings of Christ, to share them with others so that they too can have confidence that they are saved, knowing that our salvation is fully in your hand. We thank you for the gift of your word, for our Sunday school, for opportunities to teach and to learn. Bless our students as they receive this education, for the strengthening of their faith and the glory of your name. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right. So start off with just a bit of quiz-like information, see if you know the story of the flood. What were the measurements that God instructed Noah in building the ark?
Big.
Huh? Big. 400 cubits, 400 cubits long, 30 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. That's option one. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. 600 cubits long, 40 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. 700 cubits long, 70 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high.
Oh my gosh.
There's some tricky ones. All cubits, huh?
B.
300 cubits, 50 cubits, and 30 cubits. All agree? Say aye. Any opposed? Like sign. It doesn't say. No, it should be that one, yeah. Number two, yeah, 30 cubits. Oh, two hints left. I don't need to, just tell me the answer. Yeah, it's very, oh gosh. Okay, well, I know what it is. Yeah, it's 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high, for extra credit. What is the length of a cubit?
18 inches.
Give or take. How do they typically measure it? They didn't have inches per se in those days. It was the length of the elbow to the tip of the finger, and typically that of the king or whoever was in charge. So they had a royal cubit, and the cubit they used at the Ark Encounter to measure out the distance or the length, so the dimensions of the Ark, was 20.4 inches. So that's on the lower end of the range that was usually used by the royal for the royal cubit. So anywhere from 20.4 up through like 22 inches or something like that. So a little over a foot and a half per cubit, and that gives you then your idea of how big the Ark was. Okay, two of each kind of animal went onto the Ark. Two of each kind of animal. True or false?
False.
Two of each kind. At least, how about that? What's false about it?
There were more than clean animals, there were three of each.
Right, what?
Clean animals, there were three.
Okay, yeah, clean animals, there's more, but we have at least two of every kind. That's the initial command, or that's given, right? Okay. So, let's see, there's no hints. They're not giving me any hints. All right, so yeah, it would actually be true, right? Two of every kind of animal, not every species of animal, though, right? Which of Noah's sons is known as the father of Canaan? Cush, Ham, Japheth, or Shem? This we learn after the flood from the story of what happens with Noah following the flood. He constructs a vineyard, gets drunk on the wine, and one of his sons discovers him naked, but doesn't cover him. That son is the father of Canaan, and Canaan then is cursed as a result of this. And that son is? You all like to eat it. Yes, Ham, right? Not all, but a lot. Okay, Ham. So Ham is the cursed son of Noah, who's father of Canaan.
Ham wasn't kosher.
Ham was not kosher. What, Dan? What, Dan?
They're laughing. They think I'm looking on my phone.
Oh, yeah. No phone. That's all right. How many years did Noah live after the flood? 350, 315, 425, 450.
350.
350. He was 600 years old when the flood came. He lived to be 950 before he died. So about 350 years. Who was Noah's grandfather? Lamech, Methuselah, Mahalalel, or Jared? The oldest man ever, Methuselah. And they say at the Ark Encounter, they say he died just before the flood occurred. I don't know if that's recorded specifically in Scripture. I was kind of thinking he may have died in the flood, but that's not necessarily the case. Lamech was his father, was Noah's father. Methuselah, his grandfather. Okay? And who was, this isn't one of these questions, but who was alive at the birth of, who was alive at the birth of Abraham? Still, Noah was. So, pretty interesting, right? That these generations are still linked. Okay, he would have died probably before Abram was like 80 years old, but he lived to be 950, and Abram's born before he dies. What is the name of Noah's wife, according to Genesis? Keturah, Saria, Zilpah, or not stated? All of them, right? They all grow into nations, right? All the peoples of the earth come forth from them. Okay. From which of those sons, though, comes the Messiah?
Shem.
Okay, that one would be Shem. You can maybe say enlarged in the faith in that sense is Shem. And easy way to remember, Shem is also, begins with an S for us, like Seth. Seth is the son of Adam, through whom the Christ also comes, right? So Seth, go down the line, Shem, the son of Noah. Okay, after God blessed Noah and his sons, what did he give them? Meat, land, the covenant of the rainbow, or long life?
Rainbow.
Yeah, covenant of the rainbow, which states what?
Never bring another flood.
Never destroy the earth again by water, right, by flood. Not the entirety of the earth. After the flood, how old was Noah when the ground was dry? 610, 601, 604, 607.
601.
So 600, and this is another question. I was going to ask, how long were they on the ark? About a year. Okay, a little over. Okay, how many days and nights did it rain?
40.
Where did the waters come from? That flooded the earth. Let's qualify that. Okay, so from above and also down below. So the springs of the earth burst forth and rain fell from the heavens. And then, so it took almost a full year for the earth to dry enough for them to exit the ark following the flood. Bible says that every living creature other than those inside the ark died in the great flood. True or false? This is where it gets a little tricky. Yeah. Every living creature, scriptures would talk about it as every creature that has the breath of life in it. So that would be breathing actual air. So any air-breathing creature living in that sense died in the flood outside of the ark. Okay, so that does not include the sea creatures because they don't breathe air like we do. Okay, they need oxygen, but they pull it from a different process, not through breathing. Okay, so that's kind of what they just explained at the Ark Encounter. Again, scriptures don't say that specifically, but it seems to make pretty good sense. Okay, let's see. Okay, so that's all that we have there. Any other questions or trivia questions you have from the flood? Okay. Good. And so here are some pictures I took while at the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. Let's go back. Start with the Creation Museum. Anybody, okay, who has been to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum? So those from our trip for sure, and then a couple of others. Okay, good. So this is what we got to experience, and hopefully we'll make another trip there in the near future. No, you don't need to see my kids sleeping. Okay. All right. So I took some shots just as kind of some Bible class tools for the future. Didn't come out as clearly as I wanted, so I apologize for my lack of professionalism. Problems with radiometric dating. Again, they have lots of information you can read at both museums to help support our beliefs as Christians in the accounts from Genesis. This is a quote from Richard Dawkins regarding the naturalistic evolutionist worldview. This some shots just so you kind of see what the inside of the Creation Museum looks like. I think everything was done very well. At least not a lot of expense was spared in putting it together. So it's certainly well-crafted, well-constructed, a lot of thought, a lot of heart put into it.
So there's a lot of reading to do, Richard.
Absolutely. Lots of reading to do. I tried to read as much as I could while I was there, and still got through, I think, both of them, each of them in about 3 or 4 hours per museum, reading as much as I could. Might have skipped a couple things here and there, but for the most part got all of it. Now, there's other exhibits where they have videos showing and other media playing, so I didn't necessarily sit and watch all those, but definitely worth the time and effort to go through. So you have here an account of the historical record. This is, I don't know why I did that. Where'd you go? You're not in. Okay, I don't know where that one went. I don't think I deleted it, but that was extra biblical evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Those who were not Christians who made claims that certainly supported the idea of a resurrection, even though they didn't believe the resurrection. Okay, so, there it is. It's back. So this is their depiction of what creation may have looked like. Of course, dinosaurs were included in that. But all before the fall into sin were vegetable or fruit eaters, not meat eaters. So Adam there, they call this the naming of the creatures. You can kind of see up there the serpent in the tree. Looks kind of like a dragon head, a little creepy.
Should it have legs?
It did not. but it will crawl on its belly from that point on. They have Adam and Eve in the waters down below. I'm not sure why, but that's their portrayal of that as the serpent comes to tempt. And they have... Okay, this is going to give me trouble. Apparently, they have a small section in the Creation Museum on the Ark. So from this section comes the whole development of the whole Ark encounter. They state here that what's present in the Creation Museum is only 1% of the total size of the actual Ark at the Ark encounter. So what they show here is still pretty good portion, pretty good size, but only 1% of the whole thing. You can kind of see what the construction of the Ark would have looked like. Again, they're using engineers from today to construct a suitable craft for not necessarily transporting or movement through water, but to survive the water. There's a model of what the different levels would have looked like in the construction of the hull. Using scaffolding. Noah and his son in a workshop. Okay, so there's a model of the whole thing being constructed. So I always like these types of images. Again, not necessarily how it went down, but helpful to put a picture to the words from the scriptures. So the animals coming into the ark, you see them being led up the ramp to the big door. Note how thick the door is over there as well, to withstand all the pressures of the water, the wind and the waves. Elephants, giraffes, and what do you notice there? Dinosaurs. Okay, so there were sections on the ark that were suitable for the dinosaurs. If you're going to put dinosaurs on the ark, you're going to have to, God, of course, does the selecting, but he will pick the ones that are not the biggest in size, either the younger version of the big ones, or if they're of a full kind of family or family of that animal, then they will pick from the smaller version. Right, so you have some bigger dogs, you have smaller dogs, so you would pick smaller kind of the animal in order to be able to fit all of it onto the ark. Also, like here, the different piles of resources, supplies they would be taking on the ark. And also, what do you notice here? A type of crane that they could have made in those days. Free from, of course, mechanical or electronic parts, but still something that they could use to hoist or lift heavy objects without overstraining. They have carts, of course. The wheels are present on the carts. So you have lots of different layers of wood, stacks of wood. Notice the trees are cut down all around the ark. So certainly using their available resources. This also leads the idea of before the flood, the earth was very different, because a lot of water is going to change things. So much more suitable for life everywhere on earth before the flood. So the likelihood of more trees throughout the world, especially that location, were certainly logical.
Where was Noah when the ark was being built?
No idea. Yeah, we really don't know where Noah was when the ark was being built. Okay, so we don't know anything from it. This is the challenge, right? Where creation takes place, we have four rivers mentioned, but then before, from that point until now, we have the earth worldwide flood that happens. The whole earth following the flood is likely massively changed. Okay, so where Noah starts before the flood, probably not where he ends after the flood, right? And so we don't know what the earth was like before the flood, and so where he lands, we can kind of have an idea now, but we wouldn't know where he had started. Okay, so yeah, we really don't know. Probably within the same region where he lands, which would be what we would call the Middle East now, or Southwest Asia. But again, we just don't know. Okay, but it's a good question. Okay, we have to theorize on that. Okay, this is again another diorama or model of the ark in the water. As the waters are rising, you can see them getting to the peaks of the rock formations here. They have people on the rocks trying to get as high as they can in order to survive. We have that on the other side over here as well. Even some of the animals are trying their best to survive. But overall, only those on the ark will survive. Okay, models again what compartments inside the ark may have looked like. The stages and how life is buried under the flood waters, coming from the oceans and moving in toward the land. It's kind of their theory on that. This is an image of how the earth would have changed or possibly as a result of the flood. So again, we have no clue exactly what it looked like before the flood, but this is their model of what that may have been like. Of course, then you have all the earth covered in water that changes the shape of the earth. Plus, God is moving things around in order to drain the water eventually. And as a result, the continents we know are formed. And most of the earth today is covered still with water. Okay, and so before the flood, probably not as much was covered by water. So there were some above the earth, but then a lot of it below the earth. The flood covers it all. And all the water we have now on the surface of the earth, still remnants of the flood. Okay, so again, something to think about. Yeah, we're still seeing the remnants of the flood around us. So Creation Museum has different fossils. This is an actual found head of an Allosaurus. They didn't put it on the actual skeleton because it would be too heavy. It would bend the whole thing over time. They do have metal rods in place for the vertebrae to keep them supported, make sure everything holds together. Again, just some of the artwork, the craftsmanship inside the museum. This is after the flood. They're talking about the Tower of Babel, how the earth or the human beings are spread out after that, where they go. Genesis 10 tells us where each son heads, which direction for the most part, and the nations that come out of them. So I had to note this. For the most part, they're pretty good at the creation and ark encounter museums, sticking to the text, or if they're going to elaborate on the text, then they tell you that ahead of time. We're taking artistic license. The scriptures don't say certain things, but we're going to make some guesses, which is totally fine within reason, within conformity to the whole of scripture. Okay, but where they do allow some of their theological differences to shine through when they start talking about something like the Lord's Supper. Okay, so which, again, not something we would agree with here, especially where it says, as a symbol of the new covenant, he gave them bread to eat and wine to drink, representing his body and blood that would be sacrificed on the cross the next day. Okay, so they're stating it simply as representation or symbolic, okay, not as actual means of salvation. Okay, so we would say this is not a symbol of the new covenant. It actually is the new covenant. Jesus says, take, drink, this is my blood of the new covenant. Okay, not a representation. He certainly could have used words of symbolism or representation, but he did not. Okay, representing his body and blood, again, symbols don't save, the actual thing saves. Body and blood of Christ save, symbols of his body and blood do not. Okay. They had some drawings of what the temple would have looked like. This would be following the flood, of course. They go through different eras of the biblical account, so you can kind of see different things. This is still in Genesis. Actually, the temple's not constructed, though, in Genesis, not until Solomon's day. Okay, and they had lots of little exhibits off of this little eating area, like insects and other animals, creatures upon the earth. So pretty fascinating, again, just to kind of see variation in creation. A little exhibit on the dinosaurs, T-Rex. Sorry. Velociraptors, made famous in Jurassic Park. Flying dinosaurs. They do have a little zoo at the Ark Encounter. And so this is, anybody know? Huh? What's his name? Binturong. I don't know how to, I don't remember that name, but I remember what we typically call it. A bear cat. But it's not a bear or a cat, but it looks like a mix of both. A bear cat. But pretty good on its feet and climbing, long tail, and trivia, what does it smell like? Do you remember? If you read at the sign, it said smells like buttered popcorn. I didn't get close enough to try it, though, so. Oh, you can. Shem, go down and shut that thing up, right? Making too much noise. Yep, I thought the sound was good. So this is on the Ark, and they have sound effects going on as you get on to kind of simulate what it would have been like in those days getting onto the Ark during the flood. The storm's coming. This is at the stern or the rear of the boat. This is before you get on out in their garden-like area. You kind of see a lot of their foliage. And the ark in the distance, probably about 150 yards away at this point. So you can kind of see the scale of that. I think they've got it constructed to be right around 500 feet long, maybe closer to 550. So over a football field and a half in length.
Well, then that would be at the actual distance.
What's that?
The 450 feet?
Yeah. That's what they're trying to do, create as lifelike a version of the Ark as possible.
What were you talking about before? They gave only 1% of...
Inside the Creation Museum.
Oh, inside.
So that's a separate museum. They're about 45 miles apart. Creation Museum came first, and so in the Creation Museum, they're telling different stories from Genesis. One of them is the flood, or the Ark, and so they have a little section in the Creation Museum on the flood. So from that, they said, oh, we're going to actually make an Ark, and they took, you know, all the dimensions and created that one. Okay, yeah. So there's a video inside the Ark. Okay, and now we'll go back outside. We're going back and forth. I don't know why my pictures do this, but. So you get a size of the scale, or feel of the scale of the Ark. Not built on concrete spires or pillars back in Noah's day, though. Have a little walkabout you can go through with the kangaroos, lemurs. cranes, emus.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot that they've added in recent years to expand the experience. They're going to add even more in the upcoming years. This is how we would get on the ark. That's the ramp that they, you know, the animals would have used to get on the ark. I think it's open at some point for people to get on, but it wasn't open that day. Now, this is how they get you on the ark if you go now. They have a little section there for pictures. Okay, so this is inside the ark, compartments for the animals. Some very interesting liberties they took, but things seem to make pretty good sense. Again, we have no clue if this is what it would have looked like, how they would have done it, but keep in mind Noah's pretty smart guy, able to build an ark in 100 years or so, able to sustain life. You know, you have to know a lot about the animals, a lot about the creatures, a lot about food storage, how to maintain everything and everyone upon the ark for a year's time or more. They didn't know how long they were going to be on the ark, so they had to make lots of plans and preparations.
Pastor?
Yeah.
Those things on the right, yeah. You know, each of those little cages are like those things in a gerbil cage. Mm-hmm. That's got a little spout.
Right.
The gerbil comes up and gets the water out of it.
Yeah. So it would, again, we don't know if this is accurate, but it wouldn't be far-fetched for Noah to come up with something like this, right? So actually, it's what they call, I think I have them on a slide or a picture somewhere, we call them smart feeders, okay? We do a lot, right, with smart things because you don't need a lot of maintenance. So they would put water in here, and it would come out into a little dish or something inside the actual cage, but not with enough room to flood out, just enough to kind of dribble out to fill the dish. And as the creature would drink from the dish and the water would decrease, more water could come out. So you just have to make sure the water's filled in here. That would last several days. Okay, so they didn't have to go by every cage every single day, make sure everything is clicking. Or if they did, it was just to make sure levels were good. Okay, same with the food. Okay, so they pour the pellet food or whatever food they had into these chutes, okay, and it goes down into the same type of a trough, and whatever they would eat would get replenished as they went. Okay, so all they had to do is make sure these things were filled and working properly, and the animals could eat for days on end. There's also similar things with the bigger animals, too. We'll see some bigger models of that shortly. More inside the construction of the ark, storage for liquids, probably oil for lamps, water for drinking. Okay, so here's your smart feeders. Sorry about the red color. Okay, so some type of automated processes, food container, water container. And you kind of see it in here, right? Oh, kind of how your toilet works, right? So there's a bend in the pipe so that water isn't constantly moving through, but as pressure changes, then water will move. Okay, so here you've got it so it can't flood in. That's why there's water not constantly coming through your toilet. Okay, but as this decreases, then this can fill back up. Similar for the droppings for these animals. Note the shelves, so the tower of the cages, and then the floors of each cage would be kind of like a grate, so liquid would go through if they went number one, poop could go through if they went number two, and then the floor below the grate would be angled, each to go to the center, so all would fall down to the very bottom and come out to a trough running this way, so then the human caretaker could come and sweep it out and put it wherever that needs to be held inside the ark. Okay, so again, pretty smart thinking for that. Wouldn't put it past Noah and his family to create such things. And there's the actual depiction of what that would have looked like. Little sections of Noah and his family there worshiping as they came onto the ark. Thought this was interesting too with the lizards and snakes. They would keep them in these pots with a mesh covering. They could pour water through the top in order to give them enough to drink, but then inside at the floor of the pot would be a raised section so water wouldn't sit on the top of that raised section, but spill out to this part around the raised section. So they had water to drink there, but then they could stay on the dry part inside the container. And then the way they get fed with the moths and worms that they would need came through the little holes in the center. I don't have a picture of that. Okay, so you kind of see that they had different levels coming down. And then in the center, they would have all the way through here where the mealworms would be. They could become moths and things like that. But they had access through these tubes into each pot that the animals couldn't fit through, but the worms and moths could. And they would try to escape, and they'd come into the containers with the animals and serve as food. So it was a ready supply, a replenishing supply of food for lizards and snakes. And that's kind of what they had it look like there, cut out. The mealworms turning into their forms. And there you got your frogs inside a raised area, water down below, dry land above. Space for bears, sloths, dinosaurs,
bats. Go ahead, 120 years, right, to build all this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the assumption based on God's word saying that 120 years will be the length of time or length of man's day, yeah. So this is their cutout, a cutaway of what it may have looked like inside the ark, all the different levels, storage spots, animal cages, charts showing you how everything would have fit based on dimensions, structure, and so on. Different spots throughout the ark, you could take pictures to kind of see the architecture, how everything comes together, the size and scale of everything. Dioramas of what life would have been like before the flood. So these are worshiping false gods as man became more and more wicked. And so there you have a deity with the head of a snake, sacrifices being offered in order to placate. This would be a walkway above the bigger animals' cages where the humans could drop in food supplies and water supplies. Hippos, stegosaurs, smaller dinosaurs. So there you have a little chute for food up above. Would come down here, kind of again to the smart basin, smart feeder. And there's a human pouring food in from above. And I thought this was pretty smart too. They thought Noah and his family would have created sections in the ark for workshops. Okay, so they could construct things out of wood in order to repair any damaged cages or anything else needed on the ark. Probably think of wheelbarrows, those types of things moving about on the decks to transport food and other heavier objects from one location to the next. Definitely stairways, probably ramps so they can get up and down the different levels as well with these wheelbarrows and carts. They even thought to put in a forge where they could have heat, fire in order to fashion things out of metal to repair either, I don't know if they had horseshoes, but certainly clamps for cages and other things like that. And of course, that would have to chimney out through the side of the ark, but for them, not a challenge or not too big of a deal. So different exhibits on rationale. Why did the flood happen? What's the theology behind it? They had an interesting concept of the different doors found in Genesis. This one, the door to the ark, they had a picture of a cross and light shining upon that. As the door is shut, the door is their protection. Christ, of course, is our door to salvation. Also, the door of the gate of the sheep pen to keep the danger out and keep us protected. This is what the quarters may have looked like for the humans inside the ark. They didn't know how long they were going to be on, so they took some liberties, probably some made some things pretty nice. They weren't just laying on rugs in the middle of the ark. They had their own quarters. They needed spaces, most likely, to maintain their own sanity, their own moods, morale, things like that, as we would also. So instruments, crafts they could do, food storage, pantries, kitchen areas, greenhouses, similar types of things. lots of different images, pictures, teachings, Tower of Babel formation after the flood. So that gives you a basic idea of what we experienced at the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum. Again, definitely worth exploring. Oops, the Midwest. Okay, so we'll stop there. I know we're past our time. I don't want to go beyond it too much more. But definitely more than what we're used to, at least we're used to as kids, hearing the story of the flood, right? The song you learn in Sunday school, the Lord told Noah to build an arky, build it out of gopher bark, right? The floods will come up and the rains will come down, the earth will be covered, but we really don't, as kids, learn the full magnitude of the flood. Why does God send the flood waters? Genesis 6 tells us this, right? God had regretted making mankind upon the earth. He needed to wipe out all of humanity, save 8 people. But this serves then as a foretaste or a type of the church that is to come. So all the world will be judged yet again. Only those who are in the ark of the church, brought in through the waters of baptism, will be saved from the coming judgment. Okay, and we don't make that up as Christians. This is what Paul says in his writings in the epistles. Okay, so he's the one who draws the connection as one inspired by God. So we give thanks to God for the ark, for the picture we have of our salvation through the ark of the church, God's means of providing life in the midst of death. And so we retreat each and every week here to this place to receive the replenishing of our faith through word and sacrament, the place God promises to meet us, the place of our salvation. All right, we'll close with the Lord's blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We go in peace. Thank you.